More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, the blame game. Stop feeling stuck. We'll show you how to take control of your life with God's help. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the blame game. Are you feeling stuck in some area of your life or relationships? Is there something stopping you from having the life or the relationships that you're longing for? Are you tired of feeling like someone or something is always standing in the way of you getting where you want to be? Or for that matter, are you tired of having somebody you love say it's all your fault that they're not happy in some area of their life? We want to stop playing the game, blame game. We want to help you stop playing the blame game and take control of your life. Let's talk about those areas where you need an infusion of God's grace so that you can start feeling more powerful and effective in your life or relationships. Give us a call. We'll talk it out together at 877-573-7825.
You know, I think that over the years of us learning and growing in this area, professionally and personally, I have come to hate blame. And I don't use that word very readily ever, but I hate this idea of blaming because I see the toxicity of it everywhere. I see it in relationships of friends and family members and clients and listeners all the time who get stuck in a whose fault is it? And it's your fault, and it's nothing gets healed, and more pain follows. And relationally, it's awful. But now, thanks to the internet, this has become incredibly toxic, where we're all looking for someone or some group to blame for all the ills in our life. And we're so busy throwing mud and blame at a group, at a person, at an ideology, whatever it is, that nobody stops and says, so what do we want to do about this? How can we come together and fix this, whether it's as a couple, as siblings, as parents with kids, or in our general country, in our world, to really fix what's wrong?
You know, and none of us like to think that we play the blame game. I think most of us would object to that idea. If somebody said, hey, stop blaming people for your problem, that sounds insensitive, and we would feel picked on for that, and we would, I think most of us, object to that characterization. But the reality is, okay, and this is really important for all of us to really hear this, myself included, in any area in your life where you feel stuck or powerless, chances are good that blame is involved. Now, why do I say that? I don't mean that there are certain things in your life that aren't hard to deal with. I don't mean that you don't have to confront obstacles and that sometimes things or people don't get in your way. I don't mean that. What I do mean, though, is that with God's grace, there is always some small step that you can take to begin to make change in your own life and in your relationships. It's not always easy to find. It's not always easy to do. But with God's grace, there is always some small change that you can make, some new resource you can get, some new question you can ask that will open a door and allow you to take that next step toward a solution. And if you feel genuinely stuck or powerless, or any of us feel stuck or powerless, chances are very good that it's because we're saying, I can't do anything because... And the completion of that sentence is the blame game. And we're here to set you free today.
Even if that's, and I want to be clear, even if that's we're blaming ourselves.
That's right.
You know, that's a lot of us really deal with that when it comes to this blame thing. Where I'm so awful, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm so, you know, behind the eight ball in this, I can't because, and we blame ourselves for so much that we shackle ourselves and keep ourselves from reaching for God's grace. And this is not you, okay? This is what we inherited through the fall. What was the first thing that happened after the fall? Adam goes, she did it. She did it. She gave me that apple. I wasn't supposed to eat it, but she talked me into it. And then Eve goes, oh, it's the snake's fault. Like, don't, let's not talk about, nobody said, God, is there a way to get back in rapport with you?
What do we need to do?
What can we do to be your friend again?
We committed a terrible offense against you. How can we work together to make this right?
Never happened. No. It was just his fault, her fault, out of here.
You know, Pope St. John Paul the Great wrote a book that serves as the foundation for the theology of the body. It's called Love and Responsibility. It's still in print, and I really highly recommend it. It's a great book. In essence, though, he argues that to love other people, which means to work for their good, and to then be responsible, which is to exercise our ability to respond to the challenges we face, that those two things, love and responsibility, stand at the heart of discipleship. The better we are at living a Christian life, the more we are committed to love and responsibility, working for the good of others, and exercising our ability to respond in grace, rather than react out of our brokenness. Now, we're all broken, so we all live in that reaction, and we all get stuck in that sin sometimes. But blaming is essentially the opposite of being either loving or responsible. Because when we blame, we attack rather than love. We distance ourselves rather than exercising our ability to respond. Taking responsibility doesn't mean accepting blame. It doesn't mean blaming ourselves. It doesn't mean you should feel guilty and miserable because your life is wretched and it's all your fault. It doesn't mean that. What it means is acknowledging that you have power through God's grace to make godly change in your life and relationships. And Satan does not want you to exercise that power. So he tries to convince you that blame is better than loving action. And in the face of so many things that are wrong in our lives and in this world, we have a choice to make. Are we going to act in grace to make a loving, responsible difference? Or will we allow ourselves to remain powerless and stuck and distant by clinging to blame? It's not an easy message, but it is an empowering one. And we want to help you get unstuck today on More to Life. What are those areas in your life or relationships where you're feeling stuck or powerless, where you genuinely feel like, look, you can't do anything because this person or that situation or this struggle within yourself? Are you on the receiving end of that from your kids or a spouse or a family member that they can't because you, and you're sick of that?
You're so sick of it. And or are you parenting and your kids are so busy blaming each other that you're running out of air trying to figure out how to discipline them and guide them in their lives?
Look, big or small, blame leads to powerlessness and stuckness in our lives, and that is no place for a son or daughter of God to be. We want to help you get unstuck and start living the power of grace in your life and relationships. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. We want to welcome some new listeners, actually, and thank Spirit Catholic Radio for bringing more to life to their programming lineup. Special props to Jim Carroll there at Spirit Catholic Radio. You guys bring in the gospel of Jesus Christ to Nebraska and Western Iowa. Thanks for letting us be part of your family of faith.
Yeah, it's
and
a great honor.
All you new listeners tuning in on Spirit Catholic Radio, give us a call. Introduce yourselves. Let's get to meet each other. 877-573-7825. We're talking today about getting unstuck and challenging that feeling of powerlessness that often comes from being stuck in that blame game. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence today, and we bring to you all the places where we feel stuck, where we feel powerless, where we genuinely believe that we cannot do whatever you're asking us to do, or whatever would be good for us to do, or what would be good for us to do for someone else, because of someone or something that we're running up against. Help us to claim the responsibility, the ability to respond in grace and in love to all the challenges that we face, Lord. Life is not easy. We are all broken. We all struggle with our own personal sins and with a sinful world. And often it is not easy to see the way forward, to identify the next steps you would like us to take. So we bring you all those situations, and we ask you to shine the light of your grace into the darkness of our lives and help us to find that next step, so that walking with you, you can lead us out of that darkness and into the light that comes from living in wisdom. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary,
And in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
So we're talking about the blame game today, and you know it's happening in your life if in some area you feel powerless or stuck. Now, that might be hard to hear, but if there's any part of you that's saying, I can't do X because this person or that situation.
Or if people are telling you they can't do X because of you.
That is the blame game, and you're robbing yourself. We're robbing ourselves of our own power when we believe that statement. There's always some small thing we can do through God's grace to move a situation forward. We want to help you find that next step today on More to Life. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Sharon, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Dallas, Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi there, Sharon. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi, Greg. Hi, Lisa. So I've never thought of this as a blame issue, but the way you define it, I guess it is. Mm-hmm. But I'd love for you to kind of help me get unstuck.
Okay.
So this is regarding an annulment. And I guess the question is, whose responsibility is it between my husband and I to move the process forward for his annulment of a prior marriage? He's not Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it couldn't, I mean, how could it be your responsibility exactly? I mean, obviously there are things you can do to facilitate this, but I guess I'm not sure I understand the way you set up the question when you ask whose responsibility is it?
So, I am abstaining from the sacraments. I have been for about 6 years. We've been married 12, and for the first 6 years, I went ahead and received. But because this was so important, and I had become more educated in my faith, I am abstaining from the sacraments. And it is a huge burden.
Yeah, that's really heartbreaking. And I want to thank you for your fidelity and for your commitment to your faith and for your willingness to make that sacrifice. Your heart's really in the right place.
It's beautifully in the right place. You know, you are trying. And I'm going to say something really provocative here, so everybody hold your gasp and actually listen to what I'm saying. Sharon, you're abstaining from the wrong sacrament.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
you are. You're on the right track.
Yeah.
And you took the wrong fork in the road, all right?
Yeah.
By saying, I will refrain from receiving communion and the sacrament of reconciliation so that my husband doesn't feel uncomfortable, you're making an idol of your husband's comfort zone. He doesn't have any reason. He's not Catholic. He doesn't have any reason to go through the annulment process, to dredge up all of that pain from his past, to deal with all of this, because you've chosen just to not receive communion, and
he's okay
it doesn't
that.
Affect him. It doesn't. He doesn't have any... He doesn't have any way to feel enough empathy for what you're going through, because you've made an idol out of him being comfortable.
And he's made an idol out of his comfort.
Oh, yes, he has. And we should have no idols before God. So it's, I am going to reach out to you, woman to woman here, and say, you need to say to him, honey, I've waited on you for 6 years to have
12.
Enough. Well, she's been abstaining
okay,
for
sure.
six. I've waited on you for these 6 years to get where I'm coming from and to see that God is so important to me that it's breaking my heart to not be able to receive the sacraments. I can't love you more than I love God. So I'm no longer going to abstain from this. I'm going to abstain from our sexual relationship and live with you as brother and sister with full respect for you until you receive your annulment and we can get our marriage right with the church, because I need God for eternity and I need his grace now. And I want him for you and I love you and I want what's best for you. But this has flipped itself on its head and I can't do this. So the quicker that you can move on and understand that you need to support me, not just in my comfort zone, but in my eternal salvation, the quicker we can get back to being the couple I want us to be.
And this is not about using sex as a weapon
not
or leverage.
All.
It's about the reality of what your marriage is meant to be. It's meant to be a union where you have, even if you're married to a non-Catholic, it's still meant to be a relationship where two people are doing whatever they can to the degree that they are able to work for each other's good, to help each other become everything God created them to be in this life and get each other to heaven in the next. And you've been making this incredible sacrifice of abstaining from communion.
And it's beautiful that you've been willing to try to live according to right order with the church.
But I think that the grace that you're receiving through your faithfulness and through your prayers might be bringing you to a place where it's time to really stand up for what your marriage is worth, what you're worth in your marriage, what your husband is worth in God's eyes, and to say to him, look, we need to get this in right order. It's been 12 years altogether and six of me making this sacrifice. And I'll say this other thing. It's not a religion issue. It is a respect issue. Again, if a husband and wife respect each other, then when you go to your husband or when your husband comes to you and says, look, this is important to me, will you please do something about it? They may not value it the same way that you do. They may not get it the same way that you do. But if they love you and respect you, they try to see that situation through their eyes and take it as seriously as you do. If they don't do that, then they don't respect you. So this isn't really a religion issue. This is a bigger relationship problem that's rooted in a failure of respect in the marriage. And I need you to frame it to your husband that way, because he might just see this as, oh, well, that's her weird religion thing.
Yeah, she's just being, you know, a crazy zealot, and she's gone around the bend, and now it's going to affect my life in this way. No, you have to be able to explain it to
and
him.
And go to him and say, look, this
worth.
Is not just about my faith. This is about you respecting me and respecting the central part of who I am as your as a woman, as a woman of God, and as your wife. And, you know, your failure to do anything about this is really feeling disrespectful, and it's crushing me at this point, and I can't allow it to continue. So that's why, having sacrificed my faith for 6 years for you, I now need to say I cannot be with you intimately until you address this and we can get our marriage right in the eyes of God. That's a very difficult position to take, but I'm asking you to do it not because that's what the church's rules are. All right, I want you to hear this, and everybody who's listening,
please underline that.
I want you to do this because it's what it's going to take to address the respect issue in your relationship and take your marriage to a new, intimate place.
And to get your husband to even look at what God wants for him and the relationship God wants with him. Because at this point, he can go around with blinders on and it doesn't matter.
So, you know, and this is a really important point. I don't want to belabor this. We got to go to break. But you know, a lot of pastors, a lot of Catholics, you know, we try to support the other people by saying, well, the church rules are. It's not about that, okay? It's about the fact that following these rules, quote-unquote, is what's going to challenge you both to have a healthier, more respectful, more loving, more intimate relationship. There's a whole chunk of yourself that you can't share with this guy because he just doesn't care. That's a problem, right? And it deserves to be addressed. And so these, quote-unquote, rules enable you to address that in a more forceful, confident, godly way. So, Sharon, I want to thank you for your faith. I want to thank you for the sacrifice that you've made all these years. But Lisa's right. You're abstaining from the wrong sacrament. And I want to just empower you to go to your husband and have this very direct, loving, respectful conversation with him that lets him know that that this needs to change and that you love him enough to ask him to make this change for you and to insist that it happen to the degree that you will not be physically intimate with him until he makes that change, and so that you can then participate fully in your faith.
You know, my prayer for you would be that he would wake up and say, oh my gosh, I've never realized how important this is to you. Of course I'll pursue this right away. Chances are he won't because of the dynamic in the relationship. If you need to get with a good Catholic counselor or a spiritual director to help you get through this and make your marriage closer than it's ever been to each other and to God, then avail yourself of that, because this is going to be a major shift for you guys, but it can be a glorious one.
877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about getting unstuck by stopping to play the blame game. And nobody likes to think that they're blaming anybody. I get that, all right? But we all fall into the place of saying, I can't do X because of this person or that situation. And that is robbing us of the power that God gives us through his grace by blaming, instead of looking for the small thing, or big thing for that matter, that I could do to take the next step forward. Where are you feeling stuck? Let's claim that power in God's grace today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Stick around for more More to Life coming up after the break.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
When you are predictable in your authority, you will actually have to use that authority less. Consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. The more you act when you need to act, the less you will have to act in the future with similar misbehavior.
The Doctor is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. This afternoon, 1 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
More to Life is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
How do I handle difficult family members? When do I correct others? When do I hold my tongue? Too often, we're late in realizing that we mishandle a situation, causing both resentment and frustration. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. And in my new book, Thinking Like Jesus, I tackle these questions and more. Check it out and more of my books at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about the blame game. And you know, that's a hard thing to hear because none of us likes to think that we're blaming or playing the blame game. But it's actually kind of an empowering thing to realize it, because any place in your life where you're saying, I can't make this change because, insert person or situation here, that's blaming. And you're robbing yourself of the power and you're blocking God's grace, because there's always something small, something we can do, some question we can ask, some resource we can get, some new step we can take, however tiny, to begin to make change through God's grace. And even if it's the smallest step, God can multiply those efforts just like he multiplied the loaves and the fish. But we got to let him. And the only way we can let him is to stop playing the blame game and say, okay, Lord, I'm done making excuses. What do you want me to do next? So where do you feel stuck or powerless in your life or relationships? Are you ready to make a change? Let's do it. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Michelle, who's listening to Guadalupe Radio in Texas.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, I hope you guys are all well today.
We are. What can we do for you?
I'm stuck with my 18-year-old son. He plays the blame game. Mm-hmm. He tells us, especially me, it's your fault. It's your fault. It could be any little thing.
Give me an example. What's your fault?
It could be as silly as, I'm fully bilingual, and he is not. And so he'll say, oh, it's your fault. I didn't learn Spanish. Oh, it's your fault. Like, okay. Well, now that you're 18, I'll tell him, now that you're 18, you have plenty of resources that you can use to learn on your own. Plus, I'm here. Your grandmother's here. We'll be happy to help. But it could also be as something as, well, I'm not good at relationships because you weren't.
Okay. Now, we're going to have to go to break here. I'm going to ask you to hold on over the break. But, we got 30 seconds, so I'm not going to ask you the question. I'm going to ask you a question when we come back and give you some thoughts on how to move forward with this. But we can definitely help you, and I want you to stick around, okay, because I will have a follow-up question here, and then we'll have some comments on your question about your 18-year-old son. We're talking about the blame game today and those areas in your life or relationships where you're feeling stuck. We're going to help Michelle when we come back, but we're also here to help you in those areas of your life or relationships where you want to start working with God's grace to take control and identify the next steps forward. If you are looking for ways to stop being blamed or stop blaming the people or situations in your life for your frustrations about your life or relationships, we're here to help. 877-573-7825. We'll be back right after this.
Why is the calling on the name of Jesus so powerful? According to the Catholic Catechism, to pray Jesus is to invoke him and to call him within us. We are welcoming the Son of God who loved us and gave himself up for us. A simple invocation developed through tradition in both East and West and transmitted by the spiritual writers of the Sinai, Syria, and Mount Athos is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners. Through this prayer, the human heart is open to human wretchedness and the Savior's mercy. Invoking the holy name of Jesus is the simplest way of praying always. If the heart is humbly attentive, the prayer is not lost by heaping up empty phrases. It holds fast to the word and brings forth fruit with patience. The prayer of the church also honors the heart of Jesus and the way of the cross, which we call making the stations. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. Piles of research show that what kids really need to grow up happy and healthy is you, the parents. Being an involved, loving, present parent who builds a trust-filled relationship with your child is the first line of defense between him and the rest of the world. But this has to start at the very beginning. Respond to your infant or toddler's needs promptly, generously, and consistently. Don't make them work for your attention. Trust the feeding and sleeping schedule God built into your unique and unrepeatable baby, instead of imposing arbitrary schedules on your child. Prompt, generous, and consistent response to your child's needs will lay the foundation for a strong parent-child relationship from the start and allow you to grow in virtue by practicing heroic, self-donative love. You are your child's best hope for a healthy life full of joy. For more on raising happy, healthy kids, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we're talking about the blame game today. And none of us likes to think that we play the blame game. But anytime you feel stuck or frustrated in your life or relationships, and you're saying, I can't do anything about this because...
Or if you have somebody in your life who keeps saying, I can't do anything about this because you did such and such.
That's the blame game. We're giving away our power, and we're basically refusing the grace God is giving us to make small changes that would allow him to make those big changes ultimately. Before the break, we were talking with Michelle, listening on Guadalupe Radio in Texas, who has an 18-year-old son who blames her and her husband for everything. She said she's bilingual, and her 18-year-old son blames her for not teaching him Spanish, that when he isn't good at something, he blames her for him not being good at it. Michelle, I wanted to ask you a question before the break. Are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Great. Okay, so whenever he says, it's all your fault, that, whatever, how do you usually respond to that? What do you say to him?
Depending on what it is, if it's something small, I'll just say, guess what? You're 18 now. Now it's on you. You can do this. You have the resources. If it's something bigger, like something I can't explain why he's not capable of, I don't know, a relationship or whatever, something bigger, I will feel guilty and I will sometimes just leave the room and
okay.
Go cry.
Now, it also says on the board here that you know that you need to talk to a counselor. You told our screener that. When you say, what do you mean by that?
I feel like we need professional help, him mm-hmm. for himself, because he just seems so angry sometimes
yeah.
about some of these things. And he needs to talk to somebody, and we've asked him, I've flat out asked, say, mm-hmm. what did I do wrong that has affected you in this way? What can I help you with? How can I fix this? And he never has an answer, never. Okay. And there's no
right. Well, because ultimately, here's the thing: is he's in that identity versus role confusion stage of development, and rather than doing the hard work of getting an identity, it's just easier to blame you for him not knowing how to do that.
And I just want to add: you keep saying to him over and over again, now that you're 18, I got news for you. There's no 18 birthday fairy here. Okay, no kid hits 18 or 21 or whatever arbitrary number we have in our head and suddenly has all the life skills they need. You know, think about it. I know I have days where I feel like I'm 4 years old. So what he's saying with all of this is, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do about it. Help me figure out. Now, that doesn't mean do it for him. That means help him figure out what are the next steps he can take to get the skills he needs to move on.
There's a skill called chunking. It's not a particularly pleasant word, but it means breaking something down into small chunks, small pieces that allow you to identify the next step. So whenever he says that to you, your next response has to be, okay, we're not going anywhere until you tell me the next thing that you could do to address this. Not just, hey, it's on you, you're 18, you could figure it out. Actually make him come up with something specific that he could do, whether he actually does it or not, that he could do to get that goal or to meet that need or to address that concern. You know, because and refuse to move on and in that conversation or anything else until he gives you something, right?
So, for example, he says to you, I don't know Spanish as fluently as I would like. Instead of saying, well, your grandma and I could be here to help you, say, okay, how do you want to address that? Do you want to set a date once a week and we'll sit down and do this? Do you want to learn a little Spanish after dinner every night? Do you want to download a program? Give me your ideas of what you want to do to address that problem.
And whenever he says, I don't know, or I don't know, I just can't do it, you say, okay, well, we're not moving on in this conversation or anything else. Nothing is happening. We're not having dinner. We're not, I'm going to pull the car off to the side of the road. I'm going to be ridiculous about it.
Yeah.
Nothing else is happening right now until you give me one thing that you could do to address this problem. I don't care whether you do it or not. You're going to tell me one thing you could do. If this is really that important to you, what step could you take? And you make him tell you the next thing he could do.
Because that's actually going to take his entire brain, not just out of this blaming mode, but away from the idea of, and now I have to be depressed and angry, into, I can feel powerful. I can make a change. That immediately changes his neurochemistry and will change his mood, which will be better for you as well. Same with the relationships. If he's, I didn't get the relationships skills I need because you, whatever, Mom. What do you want to do about that, honey? I have some ideas, but I want to hear yours. We could get in with counseling. There are a million books on relationships. You could talk to your friends about how they succeed. Give me your ideas.
Yeah.
I want to hear them
from
you. But
don't solve it for him.
Don't tell him what to do.
You can prime the pump by throwing out some possibilities.
That's all you're doing.
But ultimately, it's got to come from him, okay? So don't, you know, Lisa's giving you some examples there, but don't fall into the trap of solving it for him.
Don't tell him, you're going to do this. You're going to read this book. You're going to download a program. These are ideas. I want to hear at least three things from you. What would you like to do about this?
And nothing else happens until he gives you that.
Now, and that's huge.
The one exception to that rule, okay, is the counseling piece. Because if, as his mom, if you feel like he needs counseling, you call and make an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if your kid had cancer, God forbid, you wouldn't ask him, do you want to go to the doctor? You would make the appointment and you'd drag him there, okay? It's that important. He's got a psychological cancer that's eating away at his ability to form an identity. And it's this blame thing. So don't say, oh, honey, do you think you want to go to counseling? I made an appointment. We're going to go. I don't want to go. Tough. You know, love him enough to drag him there.
Yeah.
And go with him, and you guys can work it out from there. But make sure that you're working with somebody who does solution-focused therapy.
That's really what he needs.
Because you don't need somebody who's going to just have him sit there and navel gaze. You need somebody who's going to look at him and say, okay, fine. I'm sorry you feel that way. What do you want to do about it now? And by asking him those questions that challenge him to have a more solution-focused mindset, that's what's going to help him start to form a healthier identity and get away from this blame game. You can find a good local therapist, maybe at CatholicTherapists.com, or you can work with one of our counselors. We all do solution-focused work through our work at CatholicCounselors.com. You can learn to about our telephone counseling practice there at CatholicCounselors.com. But regardless, the short-term answer here is really forcing him to give you something that he could do, whether he does it or not, that he could do, because it's about changing his mindset first, to address whatever the concern is. Instead of feeling guilty or explaining or trying to solve it for him, put him in the position of giving you ideas of what he could do next to take that next step, if it really mattered that much to him. And later on, last thing I'll leave you with, later on, when he comes back and brings that issue up again, you remind him of what he said. You know, when you say, oh, so I still don't learn Spanish because you never taught me. Well, you know, last time we talked about this, you said that you could download an app or that you could do this or you could do the other thing. Which of those things would you like to do since it seems to be on your heart? Right? Bring it back up to him and make him choose. Thanks, Michelle, for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us, CatholicCounselors.com. Where are we going to next, Lisa?
We're talking with Sue, who's listening in Illinois.
Hi, Sue. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi, thank you. Well, it's my marriage. It's been pretty rough since the beginning. We've been married 25 years, and he was Catholic, and I converted, and I'm really into the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be into the faith. He reads a lot, goes to adoration, but it doesn't translate into our marriage. He's very impatient and unkind, and the spark lately has been that he's humiliated me a couple times in public by speaking really disrespectfully and raising his voice. And 4 years ago, he told me he didn't think he ever loved me from the beginning. And since that point, we haven't had any sexual relationship because it makes me feel like, you know, not a wife. And we have a son who's 24, and he's delightful. And I don't want a divorce because of our faith. And he says he doesn't either. And yet And I don't want to lose time with our son because he lives in California.
No, of course. Well, let's take divorce off the table here for a second, because, I mean, as frustrating as this is, I think we were looking at the wrong problem. You hinted at it, though. I think your husband is dealing with an undiagnosed depression. You know, and here's why I think that, because the way he's presenting here, it's all about, well, I'm unhappy because of you. I'm unhappy because of these circumstances. I'm unhappy because he's not taking any, he doesn't know how to take responsibility for his own emotional satisfaction and fulfillment, right? As somebody, it's one thing to say, you know, I'm not happy in this. But then a healthy person says, and so this is what I'm going to do about it, right? Your husband just sort of sits in that place where nothing's changing and everything is always the same and, you know, my circumstances, blah, blah, blah. And that's depressing him. He doesn't know how to take power over that. And so I think that it's the depression that's really eating up his soul and ruining the relationship. Does that ring true for you at all?
Yeah, I think so. And he blames God a lot, which really upsets me. And he says things that make,
but that's depression too. And if you argue with him about the marriage, or you argue with him about faith stuff, or you kind of have, you know, you're missing the point. You need to bring that all back around to, honey, these are all signs of depression. What do we need to do to address that? And you want to focus on getting him to his either family physician, so that the family physician can make some referrals or get him some medication. You want to make an appointment with a good marriage-friendly counselor who can address, who can help you guys figure out how to address this depression. But you want to bring everything back around to, honey, this is depression talking. I believe it with all of my heart. This is not about your being angry at God. This is not about you being angry at me. This is about you're depressed. And we need to look at that, because this depression is ruining your life. It's ruining our marriage. It's ruining your spirituality. It's ruining everything. And I love you too much to let you keep getting away with this. So are we gonna go to the doc, to our family doctor, and start talking about this? Are we gonna make an appointment with a therapist? And if he says, oh, I'm not depressed, you're the one who, whatever, then you make the appointment for him. You go together. You know, I've made an appointment, and we're gonna go to talk to this therapist. And you know, I'm going with you or without you. And you might say, well, what good is it for me to go? If he's depressed, well, you can start going to learn how to deal with that depression more effectively, so that you can both build rapport and set boundaries that make it harder for him to avoid this issue. Because by learning how to be stronger in the face of this and really focus your attention on this, it will make it unavoidable for him. If you allow him to kind of keep blaming God or keep blaming you or keep blaming the marriage, he's going to look for 3,000 reasons to never deal with this, and you're all going to be miserable. Divorce isn't the answer here. Arguing with him about all those other superficial things isn't the answer. Zeroing in on the fact that he is depressed and he needs help, and that you love him enough to get him that help, whether he wants it or not, is really the only way to go with this. I'm sorry that you're having to struggle with this, but there is a way out. Depression is imminently treatable. And I know that if you can address this issue with him, that things will definitely improve. If you'd like to work with us through the Pastoral Solutions Institute, you can give us a call at 740-266-6461 or look us up at CatholicCounselors.com. A great book to help with this is a book by David Burns called Feeling Good. It's probably the gold standard in terms of treatment for depression and self-help. In fact, there have been several studies that show that people who even just use the book can get better with it. I think he's probably need more than that.
Yeah, because it's very hard. Unless he initiated the reading of the book himself and was fully committed to doing it, you know, by himself, he's too deep under. Yeah. He's in denial about the whole
thing. But it's a good resource to have. So Feeling Good by David Burns. Getting in touch with either a good local therapist referred to you by your family physician or your pastor, working with us through CatholicCounselors.com. But don't let him take you off track by making this about God or making this about your marriage or making this about... He's depressed.
He's shooting emotional bullets at you to, like, get you to back off and hide and not deal with it. Depression is a horrible thing. It's like a wet, stinky, moldy blanket that we still feel passionate about hiding under. And we will really be awful to people to get them to not touch our blanket and wash that thing. We just will hold on to it with all our might, and we will do whatever we can to get them to back off. And that means attacking them personally. That means attacking the thing that means most to them, their relationship with God. That means 1,000 things that will hurt others around them, so we can sit under our wet, stinky blanket and just bask in our own pain. It's crazy. in a way that says, well, we shouldn't want to do that. We should want to give up our pain. But depression is sneaky that way.
Yeah.
So those who love, those of us who are depressed, need to be able to be stronger than all that stuff that's being thrown at us and keep our clarity and say, we're going to do something about this. You need treatment.
Sue, thanks for the call. And if there is more that we can do to help, don't hesitate to look us up at CatholicCounselors.com. By the way, any listener who's wondering, you know, like, you guys talk to him for 3 minutes, or talk to her for 3 minutes. How do you know he's depressed? Well, here's how you can tell.
Well, first of all, she thinks so. So that was one tip off.
But this is for anybody out there, because it's so easy to get confused about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody says, oh, I'm not happy in my marriage, the next thing, if they're healthy, should be, we need to do this about it. Okay, it's followed
and
up
it's
by
usually,
some solution.
And it's usually very particular. I'm not happy with the way you speak to me. I'm not happy with the way our intimate relationship was going. I'm not happy with the way we handle raising the kids together. Now, what can we do about
it? Yeah, or even, you know, I'm
not
happy in my job, so I need to go get some training. I'm not happy. I need to go talk to my boss about this. I need to, you know, there's always some specific thing that you're upset about. And maybe you're not exactly sure what to do about it, but you at least know what the specific thing is
exactly
that you need to do something about. When somebody says, you know, I'm just not happy in my marriage, I don't know if I ever loved you. That's a big
tip off.
That's an emotion in search of a reason.
Exactly. You have somebody who showed up for, you know, the engagement, the marriage, the first years of life, and then they go back and say, I don't know if I ever. No, that's just the gray blanket of depression coloring everything. And as you said, it's an emotion in search of a reason, and that's a really easy reason in our social structure to just say, oh, well, I never felt, you know, Hallmark love for you, and it's always been bad, and if I just get out of this, or I just make you go away enough, I'll feel better. No, they won't.
No, I mean, and we're not making fun of the problem, by the
Mm-mm.
way.
It's
a serious problem. It's just the wrong problem, right? I mean, it's because anytime that you have an emotion in search of a reason, you're trying to pinch, oh, gosh, what could I do? How could I fix this? How could I help? And they won't give you an answer. That's usually depression talking or some other emotional issue that has nothing to do with you. Just a little tip for you. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, more on More to Life about escaping the blame game and claiming the power and grace that God wants to give you to take control of your life and relationships. That's coming up after the break.
Now there's a fast and easy way to get in touch with EWTN, the EWTN Everything Number. Call 1-800-447-EWTN to get the latest information on programming, special events, pilgrimages, and more. Our EWTN Family Viewer Services representatives are ready to help you with whatever your needs may be. The EWTN Everything Number, 1-800-447-EWTN. EWTN.
It's time to take control of your healthcare journey and experience healthcare fully alive with CMF Curo. Krista and Justin say,
we love having the understanding, decision-making, and control of our healthcare in our own hands and having the option to bear one another's burdens. But most importantly, we love helping others when they need medical support.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry that values the health of the whole person, spirit, mind, and body.
To experience healthcare fully alive for you and your family, visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
New from EWTN Publishing and just in time for Christmas, it's The Spiritual Wisdom of Mother Angelica. This 7-book box set includes Mother's Quick Guide to the Sacraments, Mother on Christ and Our Lady, her guide to practical holiness, and of course, Praying with Mother Angelica, and more. The Spiritual Wisdom of Mother Angelica, available now at EWTNRC.com.
How do I handle difficult family members? When do I correct others? When do I hold my tongue? Too often, we're late in realizing that we mishandle a situation, causing both resentment and frustration. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. And in my new book, Thinking Like Jesus, I tackle these questions and more. Check it out and more of my books at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back. Thanks for being with us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking about leaving behind the blame game. And again, none of us like to think that we're playing the blame game, but we are giving away our power if we ever say, well, I can't do thus and such because, any way we finish that sentence, that's what we're blaming. And we're not accessing God's grace to take control in our lives. God wants to give us the power to respond effectively to the challenges in our life. Let's figure out how to do that today and take that next step. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Vincent, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Tennessee.
Hi, Vincent. What can we do for you today?
Yes, I'll try to keep this brief. I met my future wife in 1993. She was not a Catholic. By 1994, I returned to the church. Mm-hmm. I'm a cradle Catholic, drifted for about 6-7 years and came back. We got engaged in 1995, and then she wanted to go through RCIA, and I never made that a condition for marriage. We went through it, and when it came time to become a Catholic at the last second, she declined, and then our wedding happened anyway. During our first year of marriage, she wanted to do it again. So we went through RCIA a second time, and so we ended up both becoming Catholic together, or me returning and her taking her sacrament. Okay, and so first 5 years of marriage, I asked if she wanted to quit her job, that would be fine so that we could have a family.
Vincent, I'm going to ask you to jump ahead because we're still 23 years ago. So what's going on now that we can help you with?
Okay. Well, in 2002 to 2006, my health took a turn so bad that I really wasn't good for anything.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you. We got 4 minutes, and we still got 18 years to catch up on. So what's going on in 2018 that we can help you with, Vincent?
Okay, well, she left. We got divorced. I obviously never remarried. Don't want to. She does. I have never pursued an annulment, and now I feel like I should because marriage is not in the cards for me physically or health, mentally, all these reasons. But she is living with a man that I'm sure she would marry if she didn't feel the guilt. So should I proceed with an annulment so that they can...
And you're saying you're not doing it because she gets upset when you bring it up, it says on the board?
She gets upset about the annulment, but she doesn't understand it.
Okay, yeah, I mean, look, Vincent, yes, absolutely, you should look into this, because, and this goes to any listener out there who is divorced. You might say, well, I don't necessarily want to get married again. Mm-hmm. Why would I want to get an annulment? The annulment is a discernment process. Okay, very much like an engagement, you enter into a discernment process with the church to figure out if really God did call the two of you together and what is marriage really about and did God call you to this relationship. That's what it's supposed to be. I know most people don't think of it that way, but that's what in marriage preparation is supposed to be. It's supposed to be that process of discernment with the church whether God really called you two together and what it means to be in that commitment. Well, the annulment is the other side of that. It's okay, you guys decided that you can't live together now. What is God calling you to next? And either through that discernment process, the church says, yeah, you know what? You were capable of entering into marriage as God defines it, as the church defines it, and you are committed to each other, and so you got to figure out how to make this work in some way. Or the church says, no, you know what? There was something that was stopping you from being able to enter into marriage as the church defines it, and so now you need to discern what else God wants you to do next. It's not about saying, oh, yeah, I definitely want to get married to this person, or I want to get married again at all. Or it's
again, when people look at it that way, they think it's a box they need to check off to jump through a hoop that the Catholic Church sets for them. The Catholic Church doesn't put up hoops, and it's not a list of to-do things. It's everything that the Church teaches us is something that's going to lead us to greater holiness and happiness and wholeness and mental and physical health.
So when you say, Vincent, to me, should I go ahead with the annulment, what you're really saying to me is, do you think I should discern what God wants for me in the next chapter of my life?
And allow my wife to do the same.
And the answer to that is, well, of course you should discern what God wants you to do in the next chapter of your life. And there's a process for that called the annulment process that the Church wants to accompany you through this with. And then the second part of your question is, well, well, should I still discern God's will for my life even though it upsets my ex-wife? Well, yes. Okay.
This is circling around very much to what we talked about with our very first caller. Let's put God first instead of other people or our own comfort zones, and we'll see things fall into right order, and we'll see grace flow in our lives.
And just as a general, comment here, as Catholics, let's stop checking boxes and jumping through hoops, okay? It ain't about the rules, people. The rules are there to be able to provide a structure for the relationship we want to have with God, with each other, with the church, okay? And so if all you've been thinking about is, well, what the rules are, and you've been slavishly following the rules, well, good for you, that's great, okay? But time to go deeper. Let's ask, why are those rules there? What do those rules teach me about my relationship with God and with other people? And how can I approach this in a different way so I'm not just slavishly doing, jumping through hoops and checking off boxes, but I'm actually really kind of getting at the heart of it, right? Because that's really what it's all about. All right, folks, thanks so much for being with us today and allowing us to walk with you during this part of your journey. We hope that by talking about the little subtle ways that we give into the blame game, that we've been able to help you claim your power and connect more effectively with God's grace. If you need more support, check out the resources we have available for you at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can read excerpts from our books, check out hundreds of free self-help videos, and learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice and spiritual direction services as well. It's all there at CatholicCounselors.com, or call to make an appointment to speak with a counselor at 740-266-6461. That's 740-266-6461. Now, folks, get out there and celebrate the life you were meant to live, because there is so much more to life. God bless.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.